I am praying, and I've been praying that today you would listen with the Holy Spirit and not your flesh. If you listen with your flesh, good chances you'll just get mad, or you're not going to hear anything, or you're only going to think I'm talking to the other side, whatever the other side may be. But if we listen with our spirit, I think God can use this as an opportunity for us to remember what is also true, that and what's more significant, that we are redeemed and we are reconciled in Christ. And if indeed we are in Christ, we're called to be agents of grace who restore and renew. And so I've been having lots of conversations. I've been doing lots and lots of listening, centered around, okay, what do we do? How are we supposed to think about all this that's going on in the world? How are we supposed to respond? In what ways do we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? What does that actually look like? Well, I think it looks a lot like Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Scripture elsewhere says, consider others greater than yourself. So as I've been reflecting on where we are culturally, socially, spiritually, in love, I have some critiques, I guess, to level against all sides. And it's a thought. I do this in humility. I may be wrong. And believe me, the finger is pointing at myself first. Even if I just think back to this past week that was, and some of the crazy things that I maybe believed or conclusions I jumped to and then had to dig a little bit more and listen and find out, that wasn't true, or wow, I just didn't understand that ever before. So one thing that's often been said is we are an individualistic culture. Right? We seek personal gain and we try to make our own way. As the poet says, we're the captain of our fate and the master of our soul. Oftentimes we look at the world around us and we pick apart everything that's wrong. It's other people, it's other groups. And you know, if only they would get their act together, then it would go well. I think we've actually inverted things. We got them mixed up. Paul says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. We have a wrong view socially, and we have a wrong view individually. Here's what I mean by that. I'm wondering if there's a different way we can approach the way we view ourselves, the way we view the world. The fight right now, currently, is I'm okay, I've got the answers, and I know what's right. But if only white people would stop being racist, or if only black people would adhere to law and order. I mean, when we think about it, and just in me saying it that way, like, isn't it insane how much we generalize? How much we just cast a big stereotype or judgment on a large group of people that in no way are they all sort of characterized or you know, one type of even marked by one sort of behavior, action, or belief. Whatever it is, pick your group. It doesn't have to be race. It doesn't have to be this current fight. But any issue. You pick the issue. Paul says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. So in terms of what's wrong in the world, if we're surprised, friends, why should we be surprised? We know that sin is very real. Sin is the truest pandemic that we face. It's pervasive, and it goes deeper and wider than we like to admit and maybe than we ever imagine. But instead of placing it on other people or on our systems and generally dissecting people that we don't even know, what if we gather to recenter our lives in the gospel? And when we do that, it's an opportunity for us to take a deep breath and look at ourselves first. Because the reality is you and I are sinful creatures. We have not loved God with all our heart, soul, mind, or strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, as I prayed. In fact, we don't even really like our neighbors most of the time, or ourselves sometimes. And so I guess I want to talk about the nature. This isn't to be all downer. This is going somewhere to be an encouragement, to be a word of truth. So I want to talk about the nature of faith and the grace that God confers upon us, that God gives to us. We can acknowledge the reality of how broken and sinful we are. And admittedly, right, the going down part, that's the acknowledgement part, acknowledging the sin, and especially when we have to acknowledge it's maybe deeper in us than we want to admit, or that the going down part doesn't feel very good at all, ever. But it's kind of like bouncing on a trampoline in Christ. The further down we go, the further up we rise, right? Because in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who shed his own blood, who covers us with his righteousness, and he takes upon himself all our sin. That's the great exchange. And so how does that bring us back, and how does that help us change our warped view of society and self? Maybe we change it this way. We begin by looking at ourselves and questioning, again, about whatever it may be, begin by looking at ourselves and questioning whether or not we're right, whether we understand. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is a spirit of humility, recognizing that I am a sinner, and the only way that this world is going to change and get better is if I am transformed and my heart is softened, and then I would increasingly become like Jesus and walk according to his will and his ways. And what would happen then is we would do a couple of things, or it would do a couple of things for us. It would give me a little bit more grace towards other groups or other people who are different than me. It would also help me to recognize where there is injustice, where there is wrong, that I can speak into that from a posture of humility. Not from a posture of well, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And so in Revelation chapter 2, the letters to the churches, the letter that Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, Jesus commends this church, yet he says, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. A genuine love for Jesus that begins with humility and recognizing that we are sinful, but also recognizing that we stand so deeply in need of healing and forgiveness and the grace that God has for us in Jesus Christ. That's what puts us in a position to actually serve Christ and love people well. So finally, let me read the context of this verse. Romans chapter 12. Turn there if you haven't. Swipe there in a Bible app. But I want to give you the context of this verse. So the verse I've been driving home that I want us to remember and stick with us this week, verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another ahead of yourselves. But here's the context. Begins at verse 9. Let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Well, what does hospitality look like? Paul goes on. Here's I think, what it means to seek to show hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we oftentimes get preoccupied with all that is wrong in the world, COVID, racism, riots, and just the basic everyday frustrations of life, forgetting that each day God gives us is a gift. One of our oldest confessions says that creation is the theater of God's glory. God's glory is all around us. Now, God has certainly made himself known most to us in the scriptures. So we spend time each day hearing from him as he speaks to us through the word. But we don't need to take any of it for granted. And we don't need to let any of it be overshadowed by all that is wrong. Those things are there. We live in a present darkness that is filled with all kinds of evil, and we're in a battle against it. But that battle is a battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And part of that battle involves us responding to God as he continues to pour grace upon us through faith that's conferred upon us by the Holy Spirit, who fills us each day, revealing Christ to us, forming Christ in us. And so as a specific point of application this morning, if I haven't stepped on everybody's toes, now I probably will. But don't worry, I've stepped on my own toes plenty here. But I want to share as application, a couple of things that are born out of my concern of the narratives that are fueling people's responses to all of it, pandemics, protests, everything else. So hear my heart on this. I want to give an encouragement to exercise a great deal of caution and discernment. Without being a conspiracy theorist, but to be a little suspicious of the narratives being peddled by streaming news and social media, and the narratives of all types and all sides and all perspectives. That's not to say that what's being said and stated and put out there is necessarily untruthful. But everything is undergirded, of course, as we know, by a story about the world and where things are going and what it should look like. Well, God gives us a vision of his kingdom and what the world should look like. But not everyone out there wants that vision. And there are some who just want to use and abuse that vision, or some who just really misunderstand that vision, all sorts. The call to us as followers of Jesus is to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And so we have to do this really, really hard work of understanding that every story has a narrative, which means every story has an angle, and those angles are try to fit the pieces of that story into an agenda. And so we need to understand the narrative that we're going to live by and respond by. For us as followers of Jesus, that's the story of God revealed to us in Scripture. That means everything we look at in life, we're going to do two things simultaneously. We want to measure it against God's word and God's truth. And we want to do two things, find resonance and find resistance. What I mean by that is we want to be able to affirm what is good or right, or sometimes be able to affirm what is evil about a given situation. But at the same time, And with the same very thing, we should be able to lovingly critique it and say, that's only partly true, or that's not good, that's not right, or that's born out of a false narrative. It's hard work to find resonance and resistance, but it's necessary work because we recognize that we ourselves are simultaneously saint and sinner, right? That battle we talked about recently, that battle's still going on every day. We wage that battle by the power of the Spirit. But here's the thing, right? We can call it, fake news is the trendy way to talk about it. But if you honestly want to know, most news out there on the streaming channels, on social media, most of it has some element of truth and reality to it. And then most of it is only a partial truth or a half truth or an agenda-driven truth. And I've encountered that, and I see it again from every perspective. It's everywhere. I'm going to own and say what hurts me worse right now is to see Christians engaged in not being wise as serpents and not being innocent as doves. And so that means even locally for us here in our communities this past week, there have been some rumors what we might say is gossip, fake news going around about, well, gee, be afraid of this because this is going to happen. But do you know what? Some of those rumors weren't things that were actually going to happen. They were things that somebody spewed, gossip, meant to incite fear and incite a particular response among some people. And so the reality is, Tuesday, for instance, and again, as I said last week, racism is evil, rioting, violence is evil. Okay, on this particular issue, we can, and it's possible, and as Christians, we actually must say, both of these things are evil. We need to work together. How do we be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above ourselves? And so I've seen on social media a lot of Christian pastors who generally have certain stances, but they have bent over backwards to justify the violence and justify injustice of the rioting that turns violent. Again, I'm not at all saying that the people who are turning things violent are representative of a whole group of people. They most certainly are not. But there are people out there up to trouble. And by the way, it's people with all sorts of different shades of skin color. But as Christians, there's no way. If we look at this passage, we look at the gospel, Jesus never condones violence. On the flip side, here's what's hurt me even more is that there have been a lot of peaceful protests, and I think the peaceful protests are needed. There's a message, there's a reckoning that we need to hear and understand, and there's definitely change and reform of various types that does need to happen. However, we've seen some people respond to the peaceful protests, the good ones that we should lift up and say, hey, well done. Thank you for doing that peacefully. I listen. I hear you. Help us to understand. Help us figure out. Let's be devoted to one another in love. Build a better future. And there have just been, I've seen some video of some people who've just responded in some pretty, pretty disgusting ways in our communities here. But one of the ways that hit home is this week, we received from a number of people, number of sources, got a bunch on social media, again, these fake threats that were sent out to instill fear, instill a certain type of response. And so again, I just, on all these fronts, I just want to say, and it's hard work, but do that good work. Be wise as serpents, be innocent as doves. I know it's so easy to post something or share something on social media, but it's so easy for that to be gossip. We know what God says about gossip. And we can do better, friends. And I'm not accusing any of us. This is certainly not to condemn any of us. Again, I want this to be an encouragement to say, let's do this work. Because we can do it, because Christ is with us and he's given us his Spirit to be agents of grace, to be devoted to one another in love, to outdo one another in showing honor. And so friends, I know this isn't the 2020 that any of us hoped for, and there is a lot wrong, but God is at work refining and renewing. And the Acts invitation remains. Acts chapter 3, repent, your sins will be blotted out, and times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. We want to follow Jesus. We want to follow his will. We want to follow his ways. And so maybe today we pray the prayer, God, would you open my ears that I may hear? Sharpen my mind that I may understand what I hear, then soften my heart that I may follow you in faith and obedience. Because it's only as individuals transformed in Christ who come together to love each other well that the kingdom is going to be manifest among us, and that the world and our communities actually then might become a better place for all. God is firmly established. He knows exactly what's going on. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing is out of his control. So love each other well today. That's what we can control. Love each other well today. Seek Jesus and hunger and thirst for his righteousness, and he will move in you. Whoever you are precious and important. Your neighbor is precious and important. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, who was and is to come, is for you. He died for you, which means, friends, that we have hope. So let's be careful to not put our hope in the things of this world. Let's be careful to put our hope in Jesus Christ. Trust him. Be at peace, and may the Holy Spirit fill you today. Pray with me, please. God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your patience. Lord, we know you desire all people to know truth and to be saved. And you are waiting. And you have called forth us, your church, to extend the gospel as we point to you. Lord, we pray that all who are hungry, all who are thirsty, all who are searching for purpose and meaning and significance would see and know that it's in you and in you alone. Jesus, you are our rock, our redeemer. You are the risen Lord. We thank you that we are yours. You made a promise to us, and you are faithful and true. We long for the coming of your kingdom and all of its fullness. So God, use us. Use us today. Use us this week. May we be vessels extending your light and your love to others, that we'd be devoted, we'd live this out, be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above, ahead of ourselves. So God, I pray we would experience just a glimmer of your grace today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would know your presence, we'd know your peace. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.